And there goes the full-time whistle for it. Serene are promoted into League One as all the players have managed to storm onto the pitch. I've had a word with someone very special. I won't be breaking any copyright by telling you this. Yes. Derby, Sunderland, Ipswich, you're going to be eating hummus at the new lawn next season because Forest Green are in League One.
Welcome to the Heavens Devils podcast, a Forest Green Rovers podcast by two Americans who don't know what they're talking about. My name is Nathan. This is Sean.
Heavens Devils podcast. The Heavs Devs Cheltenham Hex. Two for two, baby. Two for two.
Yeah. Wow. Cheltenham got spanked.
Smoked by Exeter City, man.
7-0.
Shout out to the Grecians.
Shout out to the Grecians, man. You'll love to see it. Oh, Cheltenham having an awful season so far. You'll love to see it, Shimmy. You'll love to see it.
Yes. You know what else we love to see, Nathan? Is swag.
Swag and clothes. All right, good segue, Sham. We are brought to you by Settlement 84, incredible clothing company focused on making cool clothes while also supporting the environment and animal welfare. And they have lightning fast shipping. Shimmy, I don't know how they're doing it, but we received messages already from a few people in the UK who ordered stuff like a few days ago, and somehow they've already received their shirts.
That's crazy. Obviously Settlement 84 did not follow my advice of shipping them to Houston, then El Paso, then to the UK first, but whatever, you know. Hey, if you don't want to be authentic, don't be authentic.
Yeah, man, I don't know how they're doing it. Incredible. But anyway, awesome company. Any money that is made from the sale of anything from the Heavens Devil section will not go to us. It will go to The Life You Can Save, an organization that seeks to give money to the highest impact charities helping humans, animals, environment. So you can look good, you can feel good, and you can do good. Check out settlement84.com. Shimmy, huge pod today. We have the unsung hero, the best hair on the Forest Green Rovers, Captain America himself, actor Chris Evans is on the show. No, I'm kidding, of course.
We could have mistaken him for Chris Evans, for sure.
We have Big Ben Stevenson on the show, Shimmy. Big Ben Stevenson, I'm so excited, Shimmy. He was huge last year in our title run. Yes. He was everyone's favorite player, everyone's unsung hero. He's the rock of our midfield. So I was just so excited to finally meet him and get to know him off the pitch.
Yeah, he's such a chill dude. We felt like we were just hanging out with a friend. We could have been in the living room just chopping it up and talking to each other. And it's just great to see all the different personalities that make up the squad that we love.
Yeah, man, another great dude, man. I'm excited for you guys to hear that chat. It's a lot of fun. And then we also have Kip Kowalski. We're joined by Kip Kowalski and Tony Graw to talk about the Ipswich game this past Saturday. So they were in attendance. We'll get to them in a minute. Then we'll talk about the Carabao Cup game on Tuesday night. And we will get you ready for the mighty Imps of Lincoln City on Saturday.
Yes, let's go,
so let's,
man.
Let's get into it, Shimmy.
Yeah, Kip Kowalski and Tony Graw, they've been in the wind. What can we say? They've been in the wind. We've not heard tell from them for ages, but they're back, baby.
They're back and, well, I wouldn't say better than ever, but they're back. They're back. So actually, let's go to them. Our correspondents, Kip Kowalski and Tony Graw, were on hand at the New Lawn for the first ever Forest Green Rovers home League One match. Let's check in with them, and then we'll chat about the match. Let's go. Kip, Tony, take it away. Kip Kowalski here from WTOV9 in Steubenville, Ohio. I'm joined by the Bayou Baby, Tony Graw.
Bonjour.
We go to the whole New Lawn for the first ever League One game at Forest Green as the Vegan Rovers take on the Tractor Boys from Ipswich. The first half was all Tractor Boys as the FBI footballers of Ipswich raided our defensive half like it was Donald Trump's house.
Oh yeah, Kip, them Tractor Garçons were quickly into their stride, strutting like a gnawing second line. Harness was picked out by Jay Donacian, who induced a plunging save from Luke McGee. Morsi found the gloves of McKee when directing his free header wide.
Ward Aron as Freddie Mercury Lapatos fires a rocket ship on his way to Mars on a collision course with Luke McGee's hands. Singing Don't Stop Me Now, I'm having such a good time. Shooting the ball, Don't Stop Me Now, but don't worry, Luke McGee's gonna
stop them all! Another huge save by Cool Hand Luke McGee.
But wouldn't you just know it, them It Switch boys playing like a gator in the bayou. They nose in front on 37 minutes. Hornets fizzed in after a period of pinball in the box. Deep into that first half stoppage time, Morrissey was afforded space to bend behind a sumptuous strike over McGee. Over the edge of the box, and man, heaven knows I'm miserable now. It's 0-2 Ipswich at halftime thanks to this uncharming man.
Hey, Morrissey, this miss is rubber. Nice job, Tony. Although your accent changed a little bit. We go to the second half. Rovers! Rovers!
We're a little bit rusty, folks.
Rover substitute Armani Little strikes, but is blocked faster than Sean at the door of a club at NYC Fashion Week. But not to fear, Josh March is here as he tucks in the sweet baby ball home. Goal! The Rover back in the game, baby!
And then minutes later, Marsh thought he had grabbed an equalizer for Rovers, but the offside flag sped its switch as Rovers. That March no goal felt like the Gree-Gree Mardi Gras angle.
The Saints don't go marching. And just like the Biden climate bill, we didn't have enough to get the result. 4 Screen Rovers 1, Ipswich Town 2.
Ooh. Mon Dieu.
Kip and Tony, the boys are back, Shimmy.
Yeah, sound a little bit rough there. I don't know what they've been up to.
Kip had COVID recently. He still has a cough.
Okay, and Tony just is drunk all the time, apparently. Forgets where he came from, apparently, too. He's gone Hollywood. And, you know, apparently the long arm of the law was too busy down in Mar-a-Lago, so that's why the boys are finally back. They've been able to obey them while they're distracted with Trump's doings and flushing of federal documents down toilets.
Oh, I love it. All right, Shimmy, let's get back some football here. We talk about the match a bit more from the player perspective with our boy Ben Stevenson a little bit later. So we'll talk more about the match with Ben Stevenson. But in the meantime, let's quickly give our thoughts, Sean. Thoughts on Ipswich on Saturday.
Yeah, our first real test of League One opposition. And, you know, Nathan, you and I are from the Midwest. We, you know, in our own right, we're very much Tractor Boys.
Here we
from
are.
Ohio, myself from Michigan. We respect John Deere. We respect Toro. We know where we came from. But we showed them a little too much respect on Saturday. That first half, man, was really tough to see. We couldn't get on our game. You know, it felt like Ipswich just had the run of play they wanted it, the way they wanted it. And we really suffered for it, especially giving up that last second goal to end the first half and stoppage felt like a killer. But the second half left a lot of room for optimism and hope.
100% agree with you. Just like you said, we showed them way too much respect in the first half. Ben Stevenson, we'll talk about that too in a little bit. We look like a team that are going to struggle in this league just based on the first half. The good news is, though, the great news actually, Shimmy, is that in the second half we did not struggle. We look great, Shimmy, and that's promising for a couple reasons. First, one of those reasons is Ian Birchnell. His ability to adjust on the fly. Ben Stevenson talks about that, his halftime adjustments. Ben Stevenson tells us about that in our chat coming up. But that was really a criticism of Rob Edwards last year. He was a great coach, but he struggled at making adjustments when things weren't going well. So it's still super early, but very promising, encouraging, exciting to see some evidence that Birchnell can use halftime to regroup, to shift strategy, and he can be successful at it. So that was really good. Second thing, after the second half, I'm super confident, Shimmy, and our ability to compete in this league. Ipswich are a great team. They are the second best team in the league after Sheffield Wednesday, according to the odds makers. Ipswich are promotion favorites. They're probably going to get promoted automatically. So to come out and win the second half and get so close to stealing a point against such a good side is just massive, Shimmy. So I'm feeling good, Shimmy. I'm feeling great, actually. Let's talk player performances, Shimmy. Who stood out to you?
So I got to kind of really give it up in the second half to, Josh March coming on. I feel like he was kind of a really great impetus for us to kind of move things forward. Again, I think, you know, Regan Hendry came out strong in the second half where I felt he was a little, not totally on the pace in the first half after scoring that worldly of a goal in our first match. But truly, I felt that
The second half, again, Ben Stevenson, our unsung hero, not just because he's on this episode, but I thought he really stepped it up in the second half as well.
Yeah, until he got subbed out. But yeah. Luke, I agree with all that, actually. And Luke McGee also, I think, stood on his head, kept us in the game, especially in the first half, man. So many great saves. Like you said, I think Regan was excellent again. And then all three of our subs who came on made a huge... Not all three. We had five subs come on, right?
Yeah, five. Yeah, it's crazy this year. But you can have five subs on three different occasions, right?
Yeah. But three of those subs, though, were outstanding. March, obviously, with the goal. He almost had a second. Almost had a third goal. Armani Little brought a spark to the team. We're going to talk about Armani Little in a little bit, pun intended. And then new signing, Sean Robertson, made his four-screen debut and looked outstanding, right, which is so promising because he's only 21 years old. He came up through Crystal Palace. We just signed him on a permanent deal. He is versatile. He can play wing back on either side. He can play as a more advanced, you know, as a more advanced winger. He can play part of a front three. There's so many options with him. And he's so young, and just was just an outstanding performance, an outstanding debut for him. So it's very exciting, Shimmy. Let's go to your man of the match. Who was it?
For me, it's Marchi, man. Just that guy seems like to have no drop in his work ethic. He's just out there training, and when he gets his opportunity, he comes through and he plays. I just love that about Josh March. So I've got to give it to him.
Yeah, man, I love that March just does not give up. He gets better every year. He lives to prove these doubters wrong. You love to see it. And yeah, his goal, and he almost had a couple more. Unfortunately, he was offsides, but he did have the equalizer. But anyway, but for me, it's got to be Luke McGee. So many key saves early on, just like last year, kept us in the game. Without him, it's 3 or 4-0 at halftime, and that is very tough to come back from. So big love to Cool Hand Luke. I got to give it to my man, Luke McGee.
Yeah, well earned.
Yeah, so Shimmy, let's move on to the cup game, and then we'll get to Ben Stevenson. So Carabao Cup action as the Forest Green Rovers host our old League Two foe, Leighton Orient. It was nice, Shimmy, to just get a little taste of League Two again, a league we grew up on, a league we love.
Yeah, it feels like we're really,
known
really easing as into new the new season, fans. Right? Like we had Bristol Rovers in our first match in League One, then faced Ipswich, now getting a taste of League Two again.
Yeah, you're right.
Position. I like it.
I like it too, man. League Two is all we've known too. We're new Forest Green fans, so we've only known League Two, man. And so it was nice. It was nice, a nice little blast from the past. Anyway, on to the match. Armani Little's brace earned Forest Green a place in the second round of the Carabao Cup as Forest Green eased to a 2-0 victory over Leighton Orient. We couldn't watch the match because it was a cup game, and for cup game, the club stream doesn't work for some reason. So we're at the I guess there's some kind of rights there or whatever, but
do not ask me to understand how football broadcasting works in the UK. Still way over my head.
So we are at the mercy of ESPN Plus over here, who choose which Carabao Cup games to broadcast, which ones not to. They did not choose us, unfortunately, so we have to go solely on what we heard and also the highlights we watched. But from what we heard from people, like, the biggest import of all the conversations were Armani Little. Incredible. The boy is too good for this league, we're hearing. He's a class above. Maybe he's our next Ibu Adams, our next Kane Wilson in terms of high-level quality. He apparently was unreal in this match, Jimmy, based on everything we've heard. I got to think he starts on Saturday, you know, after what we've seen of him so far in the two league matches and now this outstanding cup performance.
Yeah, he's been really exciting and promising. And shout out to Rowan from our FGR NYC group chat who said, Little coming up big. And that was so true yesterday during the Carabao Cup match.
Love it, love it. And it seems like everyone played well in this one too from what we're hearing. Others were having, we're hearing like others had a great showing in this cup tie. Like McAllister was outstanding. O'Keefe, even though O'Keefe almost gave away a goal in the highlights I saw. Oops. But anyway, on that note, Luke McGee with another crazy game of saves, but not just saves, like challenging. There were a lot of one-on-ones in this game, and he came out and challenged the attacker, the forward, and good things happened.
If Luke McGee keeps playing this way, we're feeling really optimistic about our chances in League Two if we can get those shot stops.
Oh, yeah. I was a little surprised he played, though, because usually Lewis Thomas is our cup man. So I don't know why he got the nod there over Lewis Thomas.
Yeah,
but
maybe
anyway,
Bertrand's just trying to get him some touches and get him, his confidence up early in the season. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, we won 2-0, but Oregon actually had some really close chances. So huge shout out to Luke McGee there. The whole back three, Cargill, Dom, Oliver Casey. New man Oliver Casey, all solid. Marchie Brown up front, killing it. Regan Digga held down the midfield as they do. Just great to see an overall like dominating performance against a good League 2 side. Because that's what should happen, Jimmy. We're in League 1 now. We should be beating League 2 sides in cup games. And it's reassuring that we did that and that we had such a good performance, Jimmy. And on to the highlight of last night. Cheltenham 7-0 lost to Exeter City at the top. Oh, love to see it.
So wild, man. So wild. I mean, listen, you don't want to build a season off schadenfreude alone, but man, Cheltenham is making it difficult not to do that the first couple of matches here.
That's right. So, oh, how the mighty have fallen. They played Man City at home. Was it last year or 2 years ago?
I think two seasons ago.
2 years ago. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they held their own. Like, they were actually beating Man City most of the game. And now here they are, losing 7-0 in the cup to Exeter City. You love to see it. Also, allegedly, Harvey Bunker entered the match last night, Jimmy. We wouldn't know because there was no stream. Our guy, Martin Godwin, tweeted us, actually, saying, this is wild, there'll be no streaming today.
Yep.
referencing Harvey Bunker coming onto the pitch. The club is hiding the truth, Jimmy. So anyone out there at the game, if you can provide any video evidence that Harvey Bunker exists, please send it. We'll be looking for Cam's vlog for that.
Yeah, I'm convinced the selfie we have with Harvey Bunker from the end of last season was Photoshopped and inserted into my phone.
Oh, yeah. And my brain, because I actually remember meeting Harvey Bunker in person and getting a picture with him.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's kind of like on The X-Files, when you have an alien abduction, there's lost time. I can't pull back that memory, so we may have met him, we may not have met him, we don't know.
Not only do I remember meeting him, not only do we have a picture, a selfie of us meeting him, in that, what was that, the Bloomberg documentary that came out, mm-hmm. where we were, like, pretty drunk in,
yeah.
if you couldn't tell. He actually got a sure. shot of us.
You know, whoever
Harvey
was
Bunker
making
too.
Whoever was making a documentary that day, we were the drunk extras yeah. in the background. Yes.
Oh man, I felt so bad. We were in so many videos at Bristol Rovers, and we were very drunk. Anyway, all right. So no idea who we're getting next in the cup. Hoping we last long enough in this cup to play a Premier League team, because that would be awesome. Brentford last year was so special, yeah. so it'd be great. But who do we want in League 2? The club asked, and here some of the best responses were. First, our guy Jake Wyman. Said Cheltenham. Love that response. So good. Obviously, Cheltenham are eliminated. Nice little jab at Cheltenham.
No. Yep.
Our guy Phil Butterworth, man. Our guy Phil Butterworth says, have you ever been to Craven Cottage? Well, we have, Phil, with your son, Matt. Well, yes. Matt didn't come with us, but we met him before. Yeah. So he says Fulham away.
Had a lovely
away.
Meal what? With him.
Dude, if we ever get Fulham away for a cup match, might have to fly over for the weekend. That would be
you sick. Have to, man. You can't miss that. Again, you know, at Craven Cottage at the end of last season, we were also the drunk extras and many a self-filmed documentary there as we allegedly invaded the pitch. Right. I know they're like really cracking down in England right now, so uh-huh. if it happens now, I think, you know, supporters are getting banned and fined and stuff. So allegedly we may have invaded the pitch at Craven Cottage, but
yes, allegedly.
Yes.
But so many people, the most common response was Watford, which would be so fun. Oh my god, play Watford. Oh my god, that would be so fun.
Yeah, that would be incredible to face Rob Edwards so soon in the Birchill era. Yeah,
I love it. I love it. Okay, Shimmy, let's get to our man, Big Ben Stevenson, your unsung hero, my unsung hero, our unsung hero in the midfield. Amazing chat with an amazing dude. Let's go, Shimmy. We welcome to the pod, the man with the best hair on the team, your unsung heroes, unsung hero, the man for whom the bell tolls, the monument of the midfield, Big Ben Stevenson. Ben, welcome to the pod, my friend.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Yeah.
Thanks for having you, man.
Happy to have you. The hair looks just as good in real life as it does on the pitch. So good to see that. So we're going to get into all kinds of stuff here. But first, just take us through your thoughts on Saturday's match against Ipswich.
I think, to be fair, it's obviously a tough game on paper. And I think first half, we didn't, although they were good, we didn't perform to the way we wanted to. And we let them control the game, and they had obviously all the ball, and they obviously went in half-time 2-0 up. I think the manager made a little tweak at half-time, and it obviously got a reaction out of the players, and we could have gone on in the second half, and got something out of the game. So, but credit to Ipswich, they're a really good team, and I think we gave them a good game.
Yeah, so actually you that was the analysis I think every fan had as well. Like, close loss, ugly first half. Like you said, first half, the outsiders, it looked like we played maybe a little scared. We gave them a little too much respect. And then the second half, we came out, We played with confidence. We played like we belong in this league. Is there something to that, Ben? Is there some kind of like, I don't know, extra nerves that happen when you play such a big side?
I don't think we were nervous. I think the way that they set up really well, I mean, they pressed really well against us and they stopped us from doing what we wanted to do. I don't think we didn't deal with that the way we should have. I mean, we just we gave them too much respect. Half time gave us a chance to regroup, and I think we got a reaction out of it second half. But we need to start better, of course.
Yeah, 100%. On the back of that second half, we felt really buoyed up, and we're like, you know what?
Yeah,
this team's really got what it takes to stay in League One and survive and
be competitive in League One.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we felt bad after the first half. We're like, oh, maybe this is going to be a rough year. And then the second half, it was awesome. And you'd rather have that than the other way around, because it shows that we are able to make, like you said, Ben, we're able to make adjustments on the fly. We can regroup and get. Anyway, it ended great. We're very happy with how it ended. So we're feeling confident going in. Ben, did you have a man of the match? If you had to pick a man of the match, who would it be?
Probably Regan Hendry.
Yeah.
I think he started the season really well. Hopefully he carries it on.
That's a good shout, man. Regan,
what a world. We have a goal in that first match, right?
Yeah, what a goal.
He's been on fire, man. Okay, so we're going to ask you more about you in a little bit. But first, we're going to play a little game of Family Feud, or Family Fortunes, I guess, as you say in the UK. We'll be keeping track of every player's score, posting them on social media. So a lot of pressure here, Ben. The real deal, Jamil Matt, your captain, was on the pod last week. He got 644. Can you do better, Ben? Let's find out. Family Feud. Family Feud. Play, baby. There we go. So don't worry about whoever the second competitor is. They don't matter. One Zeta 76 doesn't matter. It's you versus Jamma at this point. And you versus all your teammates. Here we go. Name a fruit that you would find on top of a cheesecake. 60 seconds.
Strawberry.
Strawberry. Yes, number one answer.
Oh, out the gate. Going.
Great start. Oh, I have to name more of them.
Yeah.
Keep going. Keep going.
There's three more lemon. Answers. Lemon. Lemon. Nice. No lemon.
Oh, okay. Orange.
Orange. Oh.
Oh, 20
seconds.
Also got 20 seconds. You can do it.
Start off. Yeah, you start off hot.
Lime.
Lime. Naming all the fruits.
Wow. What?
You can get one more in.
I'm with you. I feel like strawberry is the only answer, but apparently there's three other answers. We got 2 seconds. One second. Time's up. All right, here we go. The fourth answer was apples, blueberries, cherries, and strawberries.
I've never seen an apple on a cheesecake.
Yeah, me either. But all right, you got 70. It's a strong start. I think that's better than Jamma did, actually. Round one. Here we go. Round two. Round two, double points. Here we go. Family Feud with Ben Stevenson. Name something you'd be embarrassed to find has a hole in it. Name something you'd be embarrassed to find has a hole in it.
Boat.
A boat.
Ooh. Okay. That's crazy. I thought it was right
fear. In. You feel fear if there's a hole in a boat.
Inflatable.
Inflatable. How do you spell that? I hope I'm spelling it right. Yes. No.
Whole shoe.
Shoe. Hey, there we go.
Okay, keep going.
I think you're on the right track. I think it's close. What's that? What'd you say? Socks? Hey!
Pants?
More answers.
Or underwear?
Underwear. Pants. Hey! And then underwear. Let's see if you can get them all. Underwear. Hey! Nice job! Hey. 270.
Killed it that round, Ben.
You killed it, man. 348. You are on your way to beating Jamma. Here we go. Round three. Triple points. Family Feud with Ben Stevenson. Tell me the age most kids learn to ride a bike.
Four.
Four. All right. seems like an easy one. You just guess numbers.
Three.
Okay. That's a fifth answer.
Five.
Hey, that's number one answer. Five.
Six.
Yeah. I saw the numbers.
Seven.
Seven.
That's stupid. Running on the perfect round.
I see. Three, four, five, eight.
Eight. Perfect round.
Perfect round.
That was such a dumb question.
Easy to do on that.
You just gotta guess numbers, but let's. Oh, you've already beat Jamma. 810 greetings from Chicago for some reason. All right, last round, fast money. Here we go. 810 points. You've already beat Jamma. Now you're competing against yourself and future players. If a dog could talk, it might say blank to me.
We go for a walk.
Yeah. Oops. Oh, crap. I screwed that one up because I put one. Shit. That was my bad. Tell me how many glasses of water the average person drinks a day.
Five.
Name something that would be hard to do if you only had one lip instead of two.
Kiss.
Name a state where 100 degree temperatures are common. We had this with Jamma last week. Stupid question. Sorry, it's an American question.
Florida,
nice.
Florida.
Oh, shoot. All right, last question. Name something people alphabetize. Oh, there's no time left. One. Oh, we ran out of time. That's all right. All right, dog could talk. We say go for a walk. All right, that was a good answer. 15 points. Feed was number one. How many glasses of water? We said 5. 10 was the number one answer. Kiss, first answer. Good. Florida. Good answer. Arizona was number one. And the last question, what do people alphabetize address book? Okay, not bad. Not bad, Ben Stevenson. You beat Jamma. You're now first. That gives you 891, Ben. A very respectable showing. Congratulations. You are now the first place in Four Screen Rovers, on the Four Screen Rovers team. Of course, every player will be playing, but right now you got the lead. Congratulations. All right, Ben. Let's move it off with a fun fact.
Thank you very much.
Yes, cheers. Congratulations, Ben. Congratulations. Let's move it off with a fun fact that we can add to Wikipedia, Ben. Do you have a fun fact for us?
I'm quite a big, I'm a massive Marvel fan.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, great. That's DC side of it. It's Marvel.
DC. Marvel all day.
Marvel all the way. All the way, Marvel.
Who's your favorite superhero?
Captain America.
Captain America. Hey. Our guy.
Hey, you're not just pandering to the two Americans, are you?
Yeah, you're sucking up to us.
No, he is.
Or have you just seen my upper body? My upper body has been described as Captain America before the transformation.
Oh, I love that. Okay, Marvel. What's your favorite Marvel movie?
I actually watched one this morning. Captain America, The Winter Soldier.
That's a great one.
Let's go. Does it get you like pumped up?
Underrated.
Underrated.
Underrated, yeah.
I love that. You are Captain America out there. Now we got so many new graphics. Oh, man, this is going to be great. You kind of give Captain America vibes, too. I feel like now that the blonde hair, I feel like I see some Captain America in you. Question, actually. I forgot. Today, we're recording this on a game day. This will actually come out the day after the Tuesday game. But recording this on a game day, the Tuesday night game. A couple questions about that. First, what do you do on like a game day when the game's at night? Like, what do you do all day? And what do you actually have to go in?
We're not in till, if the game's at 7:45, we'll be in at 6:15, so it's 6:15, and then so we have the whole day really to just obviously relax. But it's sort of I'm not really a fan of it because it drags out. I try to wake up as late as I can and then just save as much energy because obviously the day it's quite a long day, so I just chill really, watch TV.
Yeah, like when you hear like NFL players talk, they play afternoon games, but they always talk about like there's always like a couple night games a week, and they hate the night games because they're like they just sit around all day, they can't really do anything, they're a little bit nervous about the upcoming match, and just like sucks. When do you actually find out the team sheet? Like when do you find out if you're playing or not? I feel like that's such an interesting part of the game that we don't think about. Like you have no idea if you're playing tonight, Ben.
Yeah, tonight, no. Different managers have different ways of doing it. I think with Rob last year, he would typically do it probably the day before. So Friday or Monday, if you see Tuesday game. I think with the new manager, his way of doing it is tell us before the game, so we'll have a meeting. If the game's at 3 o'clock, we'll have a meeting when we get there, about one. And we'll probably find out then, but it's a different way of doing it because it makes sure everyone's prepared for the game. So you don't know if you start, so you still prepare this. Everyone prepares the same way, yeah.
I like that because at first I was thinking, you know, it's like nice to know, am I going to play tomorrow or not? But without knowing, it's great because it keeps you on your toes. Like you said, everyone has to be prepared because you don't know who's going in. I like that. That's cool. So you were born in Leicester or Leicester, as we think it's called here in the U.S. Leicester. What is your story, Ben? How do you
go from like a pronunciation there?
That's right. Leicester. How do you go from being a little newborn baby in Leicester to being the unsung hero of the Forest Green Rovers? What's the story, Ben?
Obviously, born in Leicester, and then so academies in England, they didn't really start until under nines. So that's when you sort of sign in the first academy. So before, obviously, you start playing football before that. So I think I probably played as early as I can remember, really. So I signed for Coventry City when I was 8, which is only like 30 minutes from Leicester. And I signed with my friend at the time who played for the same local team as me. And they asked to sign us. They asked if we wanted to sign, and we both really, really liked it. We enjoyed it there. And we both signed there, and I stayed there all the way up until I was 20. So I did a good 12 years there. Broke through into the first team, played 50 games, Coventry, and then signed for Wolves. At that stage, Wolves were a championship team, but when I signed, the same season they went up into the Premier League. So that the club changed a lot, and they had a lot of money. So it was hard to obviously get around into the first team there. I actually went on loan when I was at Wolves to a team in Spain. So I lived in Spain for 6 months, came back, and then I left Wolves, signed for Colchester, stayed there for two years, and then signed Forest Green at the start of last season.
I love it. So why Forest Green? Like, what made you come here?
I'd played against them a few times before, and I'd always really liked the way they played. I never heard anything bad said from any of the players that I obviously known who played there before. And when I was at Wolves, Rob was my coach at the time. So there was a sort of link there. So when I obviously got announced as a manager and I heard there's a little bit of interest, I was keen on finding out more, and I had a meeting with Rob, Rich Hughes and Richie Carl, who was the assistant at the time. It went well, and I just decided to sign.
Nice.
Liked what they were saying.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I was going to ask about Rob because I knew you worked with him at Wolves. So I was going to ask if he was part of bringing you to Forest Green. Sounds like he was. Did he have a history of ghosting you like he ghosted us in the spring?
It's still a little bit raw. It's a little bit raw, Ben.
you don't have to answer.
not from my experience, no. I've got no experience
with
that.
But man, I mean, we're so happy that he brought you on board, because in your season,
led us to glory, the championship of League Two. You know, League Two champions. It's incredible stuff.
So, and yeah, another Forest Green link you have. You mentioned Coventry. You played there at the age of 19, which is crazy. I think you were in League One at the time too, right? So at 19 years old, is that right? Playing in League One.
That's right. Wow.
And you played with our boy, Chris Stokes. Did you talk to him at all before coming over?
Yeah. He was good for me, to be fair. I was breaking through into the team. He was obviously a bit older. So, I learned off him a bit, and he was a good guy.
Yeah, you said you played in Spain. What was that all about?
When I was at Wolves, actually, at the time, had sometimes these bigger clubs have teams that they send some of their young players too, so like a feeder club, a partner club. So there was five of us from Wolves that went over there. It was good. It was different. Obviously, it was good to see how different countries sort of do it, really, and the difference between English and Spanish football. It was a good experience, and it's something I'm glad when I look back at it, I'm glad I've done it. where we went was not, it wasn't like a tourist place. There was, everyone there was Spanish, so it's yeah, there's only like, there was like five of us that spoke English, and every, like, even in the city everyone spoke Spanish. But it definitely helped. It was hard because I'd never done some of that before. I was still only 20. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was a big thing to do. But we were looked after well over there, so it was all good.
Were there any language issues with the, like, the manager and with the players?
The assistant manager there was sort of, was a translator type thing.
Oh, definitely, okay,
okay. On the pitch, it was really, it was hard to communicate with the Spanish players. This is why we had to do a few Spanish lessons, but it was hard.
It's always fascinating to me when you look at, like, especially like the giant clubs, Premier League clubs, La Liga, Bundesliga, where you have like so many international players and not everybody speaks the same language. I'm always like curious, how do you communicate to guys who don't speak English or don't speak Spanish or whatever? That's interesting. So what team, going back to your youth in Leicester, what team did you support growing up? Were you a Leicester City guy? Were you a Coventry guy? What was your team?
I was always been a Leicester fan because obviously my family, we had season tickets when we were really young, when I was a lot younger. So yeah, I'd always been brought up to support Leicester.
Well, what's your favorite place that you've played after Forest Green? We know Forest Green is number one. What's your second favorite place you've played?
It has to be Coventry, just because I spent so long there. I mean, I came up, they gave me my first chance, really. I mean, playing, obviously they gave me a chance to break through, and yeah, I always have a lot. And it's a great club, to be fair. It's a big club, and I'm glad now they're back in sort of the Championship where they belong.
It's, yeah, good to see you do that. Did you play with James Maddison when he was there?
Yeah, he was. I grew up with him because he was my age. He was there when I first signed. I was like 8 years old.
Wow.
And then I didn't play in the first team, but I played all the way up through the academy with him. So he's a good friend.
Oh, that's awesome. And very cool. Leicester. So, on to your game. You don't get a lot of goals. You get the occasional assist, but you do all the dirty work so well. You are the reliable rock in the midfield. You make smart passes, interceptions, blocks, jump start the build-up play. You're like the smart football fan's favorite player. You're the guy who shows up in all the analytics data as like a gem that you got to sign. Do you take pride in that sort of like under-the-radar work? Even though it doesn't always show up on the stat sheets.
Obviously, to score goals and get assists and all that, it's obviously, it'd be a great thing to do, but happy enough to do the job that obviously I'm supposed to do, really. I mean, it'd be nice for me to score goals, but it's not really my job to do on the pitch. As long as I'm playing, I don't mind.
Love that.
Do what I need to.
Yeah,
that man through and through.
Yeah, and that's our supporters' view too. As long as Ben Stevenson's playing, we don't mind, because we know you're going to do your job. You know, we're going to have that balanced way of playing. It's not just going to be, you know, bombing forward, but, you know, we feel safe in our tactic.
A question that all of us with hair want to know, what's the routine? What's your haircare routine?
I've had that many haircuts. I know every single style, every type of product that you need for different types of hair.
It's best hair on the team. Yeah, you had long hair last year. Why'd you cut it?
It's quite a funny story, really, because I never intended to cut it. I'd grown it, and it got a little bit. I just wanted to tidy up a little bit, and I went to this barber shop, which I shouldn't have. So it's my own fault. I haven't done it before. And you shouldn't do it. You should always stay with your own barber. and I just said, can you please just take a little bit, just tidy it up, and he just made an absolute mess of it.
Oh.
Yeah, it was devastating. I had to come off because it just didn't look good.
Oh, wow. So are you going to grow it back out?
No, I've got no plans at the minute. It took too long.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ben, you're absolutely right. I think that's the closest that regular people come to, you know, elite athletes like you guys, professional athletes. We know you're very superstitious. That's how like we are with our barbers. It's like, you got to go to the guy, you got to go at the same time. You can't do anyone else, you know? And if you mess with that consistency, it's usually bad results. So I feel like that's the most empathetic I could be with professional athletes like yourself.
Yeah.
We all face the struggle. Yeah. So Ben, what's the best part of your game?
It's a tough question, actually. I think last year's in the formation we played, I think it was just sort of breaking it up, and I don't know, really. It's a tough one. I think just being in the right position to maybe get the team going and get and just if the other team's attacking, just being in the right position to obviously stop that and then get us going forward.
We see that every week, and that's one of the things we all appreciate so much about you and having you on our team. What about the weakest part, Ben? What's the weakest part of your game? What do you need to improve?
Didn't get any last year, which is actually the first year where I didn't score.
Wow.
It's a little bit disappointing, so I'm hoping to at least score a goal this year. Yeah.
All right, let's get some goals, baby. We brought Don Bernard a goal last season. We'll see if we can bring you a goal this season, Ben.
Hopefully. Yeah, I can't believe he's claiming that, though.
You can't believe he's claiming it because it's face deflection. I love it. All right, we're going to wrap up here pretty soon. We want to rank some stuff with you. And then we will ask you a couple questions and a couple more questions. We'll close out. So we're going to go to Tier Maker. All right, let's rank something. Anything you want. Any ideas? Any passions? Oh, we could do Marvels. Well, Chum and I don't know Marvel stuff.
Yeah, let's go Marvel.
Marvel. Let's go. All right, here we go. Ranking them. All right, Chum and I are not going to be much help here.
S tier. I'm curious to see what is S tier for you.
Can you even see those? All right, let's do five. Let's do one for each category. S plus. I don't know what S plus
means. Yeah, S tier. S tier just means the top of the top. S tier, right?
All right, what's in the S tier?
I have to put Infinity War and Endgame.
Boom, all right. A tier, what's in the A tier?
Spider-Man, No Way Home.
Ooh, okay.
There's too many here. I don't know which one's that. Wait, this is Far From Home. I think it's this is Home something.
Third one.
This one right here, Spider-Man, No Way Home. All right, good. Yeah. What's in the B category, Ben? It's going on the internet, so be careful. Everyone's going to judge you. Everyone's gonna have an opinion.
Civil War, the first one.
Civil War.
Let's go.
There you go.
You hear me?
Nice.
Got you now. We lost you for a second. Civil War, baby. All right, let's go see.
So now we're getting to the mids. These are mid Marvel movies for you.
Yeah. Mid. I'll say Doctor Strange.
Mid. Man, have you seen all these?
I enjoyed it, but it's
But it's mid. All right. Here we go. We're in the D.
Quite low down now. Iron Man 2.
Iron Man 2. That's the D range. E. I didn't know that was a thing. All right, E. We're almost to the bottom.
Captain Marvel in E.
Captain Marvel. Nice. Yep. E. Uh-oh. All right, now we're getting... What movies were trash? We're about to get the bad movies. Here we go. This is where we're going to get all the controversy.
Yeah. Thor, The Dark World.
Wow, I hear that from a lot of people. The second Thor movie was a bit...
Is that what's the question mark? Is that like the worst of the worst? All right, give us the worst.
What else?
Miss Marvel.
Ooh, okay, the latest. Nice. The latest and not so greatest.
This is Miss Marvel. All right, there it is, the definitive list. All right, we're gonna post that, Ben. We're gonna stir up some controversy.
Yeah. You may want to turn off comments on your IG in just about 5 minutes when it goes up.
Yeah, this is gonna be worse than if you have a bad game. the comments here. All right. Awesome. So let's ask just a couple more questions here and then we'll close out. We're going to do a couple questions, then teammate talk, and then get out of here. So, Ben, if you weren't a footballer, what would you be doing as a job?
What would I be doing or what would I like to be doing?
Either one. Your choice. What would you like to be doing? What would you like to be doing?
I'd like to be a golfer.
Oh, interesting. All right.
Yeah. All right. Interesting. On the live tour, making millions.
Oh, I wish.
Is your golf game good?
It's getting there. It's getting a lot better. I'm enjoying it. It's all that matters. I'm enjoying it.
All right.
All that matters.
So, Ben, so when you score this year, are we going to see the Ward Prowse celebration out of you?
Oh, the golf. Yeah, the golf celebration. You know, I've had so much time to think about it. I've narrowed it down to
a couple, yeah. And just like the team sheet, you're going to keep us on our toes.
Yeah, look out for it.
Perfect. I love it. Love the comment.
All right. So, Ben, how do you want to be remembered by Forest Green fans when you leave someday, many years from now, you take us up to the championship, you retire at the age of 40, after winning a golden boot somehow, from scoring no goals to winning the golden boot? How do you want to be remembered? Whenever that day comes that you leave Forest Green, how do you want to be remembered by the fans?
That's a good question, to be fair. I think Well, I hope, first of all, obviously, hopefully remembered for last season, obviously, as a team winning and as club winning the League Two title. So
always,
it's a good start. Whenever it is, the time I do leave, I just hope all on good terms and that the fans remember just good things about me.
I think they will. I mean, as I said, last year you were like everybody's favorite player. Everyone's unsung hero. Everyone was like, you know who's actually been amazing this season? Ben Steven. Everybody says it. So I think we will long remember not only last season, but also your contributions this season, hopefully beyond. Okay, Ben, we're going to go to teammate talk now. We're going to give you some descriptions, and you tell us which player most matches the description. These are all going to be Ben-themed. So we'll start with the first question, our first teammate talk. Big Ben, keeping time in London since 1859, which teammate is the best at wasting time on and off the pitch?
On the pitch, I'm going to have to say Luke McGee.
Yes.
Keeper, because he's clever. He knows. He goes down when he needs to, and when like he never needs to, but he does it maybe just so we get a little break.
Love that.
Regroup, yeah. Off the pitch, don't know really. Who wastes time? I don't know if this is wasting time, but me, Bailey, Cargill, and Regan Hendry, we're in a car school, so we share lifts. And Regan's, if anyone's going to be late, it's always him. I feel like he does it on purpose.
Yeah, you know, I can kind of see that just from the look of him. He has that vibe.
Yeah, that's true. I can always see him like running to get up. I love that. I can see that. Oh wait, car school, is that what you called it? Did you say car school? Is that like when you all like car ride school together? What's car school?
Yeah, so we obviously take it in turns, who drives to training and matches.
Oh, this blew my mind. We call that carpool here.
But it's car,
car school. Now we know. Really? I guess it makes sense. Like a school of fish, a school of four Screen Rovers players moving together. Oh, I love that. All right, Regan, I love it.
All right,
Sean, hit it with the next.
All right, so next one. This one's called Benihana. Ben, have you ever heard of this restaurant before?
I think I have heard of it. Is it? Yeah.
Okay. So it's a world famous hibachi restaurant. It's known for its tricks of the chef slinging the grilled Japanese fare, started by DJ Steve Aoki's father. So we're asking you, Ben, which teammate do you think would be the best cook whose flair on the pitch translates into the kitchen?
I'm not really seeing them cook, but if I was to say the flair on the pitch, if we're saying on the pitch and then it might cook, obviously, into the kitchen, I'd say Reece Brown. You know, he's just he's just so tidy and stuff like that. So I guess when he's cooking, he'll have a little neat setup area. And he'll take a lot on the presentation. Yeah, it'll be really clean.
The Reece Brown cooking show coming to FGR TV soon.
Yeah, that's the top of the top, man. Chefs above all value tidiness and presentation. Yeah. So I love the thinking behind that.
Yeah, good. I like that one. All right, here we go. Ben did like Beckham. How would you describe your fashion style, and who is the biggest fashion influence in the dressing room?
After myself, I think I'd put myself up there.
Yes.
Let's go. Okay, so who are you influencing? Who are your biggest disciples of the Ben Stevenson fashion?
You know what, actually, I forgot to mention earlier that I said I was a Marvel fan, and the other day in training, I've got some Crocs with like little Marvel characters on.
Oh, nice.
Training.
Let's go.
Brave thing to do. Great thing to do, but it went down well. The lads liked them.
I think you get a lot of props in New York City as well. Like when we ride the subway here,
everyone rocks the Crocs.
Yeah, especially young folks rock the Crocs. They have the pins in them, so I think you get a lot of love.
You would fit right in here in New York City, Ben.
That's a cool model. You can't go wrong with Crocs because they're just comfy. So
they're comfy, easy to put on, easy to take off. It's the perfect shoe.
Function defines form.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
You can walk through water with them, walk on water with them. They do it all. All right, Sean, hit him with the last one.
All right, Ben, just like you allude the opposing players in midfield to, you know, keep us the ball, keep our play moving forward, you've alluded us getting you to sing, so we give you our kudos. You avoided karaoke. But you've been called the unsung hero. We want to know who the sung hero is. Who are you taking out on a night of karaoke? We know you got the pipes, Ben. Who are you taking out? And then what are you singing?
Whenever I've done my initiation, when I go to a club, I always go for the same song.
Okay.
So I think if I was doing karaoke, I usually go for the script, The Man Who Can't Be Moved. Great song. And if, to be fair, I've seen a few of the lads singing before. So we had our Christmas night out. We were in a karaoke place and a few of the lads stepped up. Who impressed me the most? It's probably Dokes.
Yeah, I knew it. Dokes, he's got a voice, man.
He has. He knows he has as well.
Yeah, he knows he has. Well.
Not afraid to flaunt it a little bit.
I love that. Yeah. Oh, man, Ben. Man, this has been fun. It's been awesome getting to know you, man. Thank you for coming on the pod, man. Continue to success. Like, keep killing it out there. You are everyone's unsung hero. So, man, just appreciate you coming on. Good luck the rest of the year. And, man, we'll be seeing you maybe tonight. We don't know, but definitely on Saturday. Thank you so much for coming on, man.
Yeah, Ben, it's been awesome. You made us feel like we were hanging out with a friend, you know, just like chilling, hanging out. We could stay on for hours and just watch Marvel movies. If you got to do a watch party on game day, now that we know that you have so much time on your hands on a match day, we're going to do a watch party one of these days.
Yeah, I'm up for that.
All right. No, appreciate
thanks,
the time, man.
Really appreciate it.
Ben Stevenson! Big Ben Stevenson. Awesome chat from the Marvel man himself, Captain America, as we learned, Jimmy.
Yes, big Marvel head. We learned that he's a big Winter Soldier, the S-tier Marvel movie for him. So just such a chill dude, man. So hopefully, he came on as a sub in that, in the Carabao Cup match. Yeah, Carabao Cup match.
We talked to him before the Cup match, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, so cool. So anyway, Jimmy, let's close out. Let's talk about Lincoln City real quick, and then we'll close out. So the mighty imps of stinking. Lincoln City, Shimmy.
Yeah.
Incredible nickname. Imps.
It is.
The Imps. We got to get to the bottom of that. I ran out of time really to ask the opposition to come on this time, but we'll get the Imps guy on next time and we'll ask them where that nickname comes from because it's an incredible nickname. But anyway, we go out to Lincoln City where we play the Imps who are winless in their first two matches. However, they're also lossless. That's a word. Mm. They have two draws in two matches. First, 1-1 against fellow promoter side Exeter City, and then a 0-0 draw against Portsmouth last week. The odds makers have them currently as the 20th best team in League One. They have us as the 15th best team in League One.
Hmm.
On XGs, we currently have XG expected goals of 1.61. They have 0.59. Quick analysis of the first two games. They don't score many goals. They've only scored one. But they're very good defensively. Their star performances so far have come from defensive player Jamie Robinson and goalkeeper Carl Rushworth. So on paper, Shimmy, it should be a cagey affair. We are the better team on paper, but we have to travel across the country to Lincoln, away game, a little over 3 hours on a bus. What do we think, Shimmy? What's your prediction?
Well, that's very impish of them to make us travel all the way to Lincoln. You know, an away game, what's that all about? But, yeah, and also great nominative determinism at play there for the goalkeeper, Carl Rushworth. I just picture him rushing like a striker on a one-on-one, you know, trying to block it. But hopefully he misses this weekend. But, you know, I just remember back to cup matches from a couple of seasons ago where Lincoln just trounced us. I forget if it was like 6-0 or 6-1. Of course, we played young players. But whenever I associate us coming up against Lincoln, I associate a really difficult match and us not being up to it. But now the tables have turned, right? We are a very strong squad. And as we've said before, we're a League One capable squad. So I do think it'll be cagey, but I think we eke out the 1-0 win behind another impressive performance between the sticks from Luke McGee.
Yeah, nice. So, historically, I've been afraid of Lincoln just because our experiences with them in cup matches have not been good in our short time being fans. I remember two years ago, I feel like we lost 6-2, maybe. I think we gave up six goals. Poor Lewis Thomas.
Yeah.
We actually talked to Lewis Thomas about that match and how tough it is when you're a goalkeeper giving up that many goals. Not that they were his fault, but it's just a tough, you know, mental thing to get through. So I've always, speaking of tough mental things, I've always been a little afraid of Lincoln, I guess, after that. But yeah. I think now we have grown. We have progressed. We are a much better team now than we were 2 years ago. I got to go with a 1-0 win, just like you, Shimmy. It's going to be low scoring.
Let's go.
Armani Little starts this Saturday, and I think he makes a difference. I'm going with Regan Hendrick goal, though, set up by Armani Little. 1-0 to the... Oh, crap, no. You know what? I got to change that 2-0 because we promised Ben Stevenson a goal. So, okay. Never mind. 2-0 to the Rovers. We got a Regan Henry goal, and we got a Ben Stevenson goal, his first goal ever as a 4-2.
We should probably just make it 5-0 because we have to also pencil in the Dom Bernard hat trick, right?
5-0, you're right. Regan Henry, Armani... not Armani. Regan Henry, Ben Stevenson. And then Dom Bernard hat trick. Take it to the bank. Let's close out there, Shimmy.
Let's do it.
Up the Vegan Rovers, Shimmy. Up the Vegan Rovers.
We are FGR. You know we gotta...
Praise Dale, baby. Whee. Thank you all for listening. We will see you all next week. Up the Vegan Rovers this Saturday against Lincoln City, baby. See you next week. Bye.
Let's go. Bye.